Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning and afternoon, everybody.
Welcome back.
I tell you, I've had a couple rough days. I've been fighting some neck issues, some pain. Doctors are looking at it. I think we're going to get it under control, and yeah.
Yeah, so well, sorry you've been experiencing that. I know you were out a couple days. He just asked folks to pray for you. It's a particular neck issue that you've been dealing with for quite some time, right?
It's osteoarthritis that's doing an impingement in my nerves, in my neck, and it's radiating down to my shoulder. So I have certain things that I don't. If I'm sitting normal, I can, I'm fine. I, you know, just a little bit of pain. If I turn a certain way,
kind of like a crick in your neck.
Yeah, it's like a big crick in my neck.
It stays there.
It doesn't go away.
Yeah. Well, bless you, brother. And we
hope that
the doctors and the medicine and certainly the prayer can give you some relief.
And we do ask our listeners to pray for Steve.
Yeah.
Valued member of our team here, but also a friend. So
I just member of the team, a valued member.
What's that?
There are some people who are just members of
I reached the valued portion of this.
And I think a lot of our listeners think of you and others on this show as kind of, you know, members of the family.
Radio family.
So remember Steve when the Lord brings him to your mind.
Thank you. I meet the listeners to this show. They come by our studio or else I'm out in the community and that I meet, they always come up and they're so kind and so friendly. I'm always amazed that we have been entrusted with the privilege of speaking into the lives of people. I don't take it lightly.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful for it.
What's your first story?
All right. The FBI has uncovered a terror plot that was going to be timed for L.A. on New Year's Eve. It's a credible terrorist threat over the weekend. They've arrested four members of a pro-radical extremist group. they are saying free Palestine, free Hawaii, and free Puerto Rico. I didn't know that those were, on the list. Apparently they are. This is Fox News talking about it, Cut 14.
The FBI now reports that it's disrupted a planned New Year's Eve terror attack in Los Angeles. Four suspects in custody, the FBI identifying them as members of a pro-Palestine extremist group. They're suspected of planning coordinated IED attacks targeting five different locations in Los Angeles. But based on the reporting now, that plot has been foiled. We will wait for more out of L.A. or out of Washington, D.C.
They say that the group is a radical offshoot of the Turtle Island Liberation Front.
Never heard of it.
Turtle Island. You live on Turtle Island. You didn't know that?
I did not.
For those,
I live on an island.
You do. It's actually live in the back of a turtle, according to the myth.
Oh.
So before.
I didn't understand the last 60 seconds, but go ahead.
Before this evil Christopher Columbus, speaking out of the minds of some of these radical people, before the evil Christopher Columbus came and America Vespucci came and named this place America.
Vespucci,
thank you. Italian, I believe, right?
Yep.
There you go. Well, he named it, they named America after him.
Yeah.
And Christopher Columbus later found it. I guess they misplaced it in the meantime. But the natives apparently had called this place we live Turtle Island. It's a way to refer to America without any colonialization. So they call it Turtle Island, which is what they say the Native Americans used to call this valued land of ours. Turtle Island.
And this is the name of this revolutionary group that's Palestinian in nature?
I think the Palestinian is the cause of the day.
Okay.
So whatever marginalized group you want, you put whatever makes America sound bad or look bad, they'll lom onto that. As I said, their account posted free Palestine, free Hawaii, free Puerto Rico. Hawaii.
Why? So where are you under captive of?
Us, the colonial Americans. Freeing the world from American imperialism is the only way to a safe and peaceful future, they say. So we can laugh at them, but they had bombs. They were building.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're not laughing at that, obviously. But so so the FBI has caught these people.
Yeah.
They were unable to get through with their plot.
Kudos to the FBI.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, we really have, and we've said this all along, even under the Biden administration, when we were critical of the FBI at times, we said that we're pretty sure that the FBI, the rank and file men and women on the street who are doing the investigations are no doubt keeping us fairly safe. And they, who knows how many of these kinds of plots they have uncovered.
Right, you don't hear about ones that they uncover a lot of times.
Well, you do this one. You know. But they only have to miss once. This is the scary thing.
That's true.
We'll be hearing a lot about it. And it's a zero-fail mission protecting this country.
Yep.
Like the president, like they say with the president.
So our thanks to the FBI for doing their due diligence. This sounded like it could have been a horrific attack in Los Angeles.
Indeed. All right. Do you remember when President Trump sent sent troops of the National Guard into D.C., into Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
To calm down the raging crime that was going on there. And you heard from the left, you heard, oh, but crime is already going down. It's going down. We didn't need him. He's overstepping. He just wants power. A new House committee report from the Republican House Oversight Committee claims there was an active effort to downplay crime in the nation's capital, and that Washington, D.C. Police Chief Pamela Smith fostered a toxic management culture. The report comes as President Trump is, I'm reading from CNN, has sought greater control over law enforcement in the district, citing a public safety emergency. And the left is saying, they don't need it. They don't need it. We're doing fine. But she has downplayed the numbers. She has put people in and demoted people, moved people around if they refuse to cooperate, apparently, this report says. Anything to put those numbers down to say that she's doing a good job.
Were there any official fraudulent numbers, as far as you know? By that I mean not just simply trying to color what's happened in D.C. to make it look like crime is down. Did they actually release fraudulent numbers?
The numbers that they were using, and I don't know if this the report goes, if it went into the federal FBI database or not, but the numbers that they were using when Donald Trump wanted to put the National Guard in were based off these fraudulent numbers.
No,
down murders and violent crimes down 40% or something. Yeah, they do anything to, well, there's two motives, I guess, if you can assign motives. One is that the D.C. chief wanted to make sure that everybody thought she was doing a good job.
Right.
And the other is Donald Trump is a fascist and just wants control. He's sending these troops in for no reason.
That's typical. What President Trump did in that situation was called for. It was needed. It worked. Mm-hmm. I think the mayor eventually said.
The Democrat mayor.
Democrat mayor said it, you know, it worked. What's tragic is anyone trying to skew numbers to make it look like the crime is going down when the crime is affecting the people you're supposed to be taking care of.
Yeah.
So you're not doing what needs to be done in order to protect the people who live in D.C. It's bizarre. And
listen, cities that are under Democrat control for many years at a time turn into terrible places to live, and the quality of life depreciates greatly because violence turns up, homelessness grows.
Businesses leave.
I mean, look at it all over the country. That's happening. And where Democrats seize control of leadership of these big cities, and I don't see anything stopping that anytime soon because the people in these big cities keep voting for the same people to lead them, and I don't know if you expect a different result or don't care. I don't know, but it's like insane almost the way these look. What New York did, they're ready for more homelessness and crime and
yeah,
bring it on.
It's so funny you said that because I was talking to Fred after the, you know, we broke for the news at the top of the hour. Fred goes back to his office. I was walking back that way. We're talking about all the crazy things that have happened. And the election of a Muslim / socialist in New York City is already in the rearview mirror because of all the other stuff that's going on.
But we'll see if he increases the quality of life and makes things safer and more prosper. And we'll see if that happens. It's a test tube here.
Yes.
I'd like to be the realist here to caution you that Mamdani and his scheme can operate a very long time on other people's money.
That is true.
You may not see an appreciable decline immediately. And when you do see decline, the first thing
all you need to do is look at the prosperity and quality of life in Chicago right now, San Francisco, Los Angeles. I mean, these Democrat strongholds are booming. Huh? Am I right?
It's tongue in cheek. I know what you're doing, but to Steve's point, and this kind of goes to what you're talking about, yeah. Tim, is that these cities like San Francisco and Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, Baltimore. This wasn't one election and your city falls apart. This has been decades of lousy policy.
They vote for it, though.
And
these
they
people vote for it over and over again.
Mamdani, to Steve's point, Mamdani could like win re-election, and you would not necessarily see what happens under his policies for maybe a decade. Who knows how long it would take.
There's a little bit of a chicken and an egg thing going on here, too, in that as long as Democrats are offering free stuff to people and getting them hooked on the welfare system, the poor people, they're going to keep electing them. And so whether the Democrats cause the poverty or they're just taking advantage of it to, you know, by piling more bad money after good.
Yeah.
It's not good. And I think the Republicans would probably do better. I'd love a test case. They did have a Republican in New York.
They have test cases called Texas, Florida, yep. Tennessee.
There you go.
Versus California, New York, and Illinois.
Yep. Seems to work.
See how we're doing there. All right. Next story, Steve.
All right. The redistricting battle that's going on now across the country.
Well, I can't get enough of this story.
I know, right?
Yeah. I love me some redistricting news. Bring it on, Steve.
Okay. Well, Republicans.
You ready, Ed?
I'm ready.
Okay. Buckle up. Republicans plan to pick off about 5 Democrat-held seats in Texas because of the redistricting that they are trying to do there. However, what they're saying is because Donald Trump's popularity among Hispanics may be sagging a little bit, they might not pick up the seats that they're looking for. In other words, they can redistrict, but they might stay Democrat seats. Trump's standing among Latinos, according to, again, CNN, has fallen dramatically nationwide.
Why is that?
Second term.
Believe that? And why? If so, why is that?
Maybe because of Truth Social posts like you read earlier, I think.
Oh, you mean self-inflicted?
I think, yes. I think most of it, the economy is doing.
Be careful now. You got your Trump worshipers out there.
I know.
Say anything critical.
Bear with
you're of the devil.
The economy generally is doing better. But what happens when that what happens to the thinking when that happens is that people put it in the rearview mirror and it's no longer an issue for them. So it's off of the critical issues thing. So
kind of like the gas prices coming down.
I don't have to complain about gas prices.
Gas prices are coming down, though.
I know.
And so but what he's saying is once that happens, people are happy about it. They move on and they forget that, hey, that was a good thing.
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
Right. Kind of like college football coaches.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a whole other discussion.
I don't think this is self-inflicted for President Trump with Hispanics. I think
if it's true that
if it's true
that his numbers are down.
Yeah. And it's typical for a president's numbers to go down between election and then the midterms. Okay? That's normal. Okay? Because you make promises when you get when you're campaigning, you get elected. Mm-hmm. You can't always keep every promise. I'm thinking about like when President Trump said, you know, Russia-Ukraine war, 24 hours, I'll solve it. Prices will come down day one, that kind of thing. But I will say this. If it is true that his numbers are falling with Hispanics, I would liken that to two things. One would be the general dissatisfaction, and I think this is just a fact, on the prices for groceries, et cetera. Everything kind of going.
Everything's going up pretty much.
Either staying the same, which was too high for a lot of people, or even going up. And I'm not saying that that's President Trump's fault any more than gas prices going down would be to his credit. I think the constant banging of the drum on deportations has probably unnerved a lot of Hispanics, which for most people who voted for President Trump, that was one of the major reasons. And he's been doing a phenomenal job on trying to get people who don't belong in this country, who came here illegally, who are committing violent crimes, out of the country. But I would guess those two things probably would have contributed to some of the fall off, if that is in fact true, and if it'll stay true leading up to the midterms. But you're saying in Texas, some of the redistricting plans might not come to fruition.
I'm saying that they could get the districts changed, but the districts might not vote the way that they anticipate them voting and everything. So, hey, you want to talk a little college football?
I want to stay with redistricting.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, can you give me 5 or 10 more minutes of redistricting?
Nothing's better than a good discussion on gerrymandering.
Yes, sir. Let's go to Indiana, California. All right, no, go ahead, Steve. What's your next story?
The Heisman Trophy winner this year is Fernando Mendoza.
Yes.
Who was a quarterback at Indiana. And I believe it's the first time Indiana—
A lot of Fernandos in Indiana.
ABBA, I think, was from
Fernando.
Indiana.
They were from, Terre Haute.
ABBA.
ABBA
was.
A lot of people thought they were from Sweden.
No.
Hold the phone here.
Misnomer.
Are you saying that ABBA?
Fernando?
That they were from Indiana?
Oh, yes.
The group?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
To this day, I was 67 years old before I found out that ABBA was not from Sweden.
Okay. We just punked you bad, man. Oh. I can't let this go on.
You're gonna
go from embarrassing to humiliating.
You too.
I'm sorry. No,
ABBA was sorry from, dogs.
ABBA Fernando was from Sweden. You were correct. You were misled.
They wanted your
misled. A couple
well,
of
Steve
times
and I,
here.
We were joking. We thought you were in on the joke, but evidently you were. Victimized.
No, I'm a trusting person, Tim.
You are. You have a good heart.
I have a good heart. I thought you. Anything you say, I'm going to believe right off the bat. But now, not so much. I'm not going to get burned.
All right, Steve.
Again.
All right. Back to the story.
Well, the actual Indiana Fernando Mendoza won the Heisman Trophy this year, and everybody's talking about his demeanor and his speech afterwards, and how he was. His mom is his hero, and he gave a brilliant.
It was
speech.
A great speech.
Great speech to his mom. It was very moving.
Some are saying the greatest Heisman speech ever.
Right, that's what Trump said.
Is it?
Okay. It might be. I don't know. Don't believe
again,
it.
Again, I'm kidding. That's what Trump says.
Oh.
Well, am I right?
This show's going to be my Waterloo.
Sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
See what you did there.
Trump didn't say that. Not that I know of. I'm just saying that's what he says about a lot of stuff.
Liar.
It's the greatest ever.
Liar.
But anyway, this is Fernando.
This is Fernando Mendoza when he won the award, Cut 12.
The winner of the 2025 Heisman Trophy is Fernando Mendoza.
Mommy, this is your trophy as much as it is mine. You've always been my biggest fan. You're my light. You're my why. You're my biggest supporter. Your sacrifices, courage, love, those have been my first playbook and the playbook that I'm going to carry through my side through my entire life. You taught me that toughness doesn't need to be loud. It can be quiet and strong. It's choosing hope. It's believing in yourself when the world doesn't give you much reason to. Together, you and I are rewriting what people think is possible. I love you.
Okay. So he also there talked about the fact that when he was in high school in Florida, he was not recruited by colleges. I mean, he had said he had like one offer or two offers. So, and he almost quit, like when he was in ninth or 10th grade, he almost quit football, but his mom wouldn't let him, or his parents wouldn't let him, or something
He, by the way, in the speech, he did start by thanking his teammates and his coaches appropriate.
It was a longer speech than that.
But it was very touching, moving, as a lot of Heisman Trophy speeches are. They give credit to their family and their teammates and so forth. But I just thought to myself, well, here's a guy who you may have never heard of him, had in ninth grade, his parents said, okay, move on to horseshoes or whatever else you want to do. They saw that he needed to stick with it and stay with it, and he did, and here he is standing in New York City with the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
Now he'll be on those Heisman Trophy ads next
year. He will, in the car going to wherever the Heisman house is going.
And you guys remember during the season, that finish against Penn State, that's one of the greatest
that's the Heisman
football,
moment. Right
that's
there.
One of the greatest football plays in college football history. And
he's of what heritage? What ethnicity is it? Cuban? I think it's Cuban.
He is. He spoke Spanish in part of his speech.
Yeah,
I think it is Cuban. Yeah,
I think his family came here from. I think his grandparents. I think came here from Cuba.
Yes.
So
he did. I read that it was his grandparents. Because there were some wise guys saying, deport his mother, and then the answers underneath it, people with a little more sanity, were saying, she's an American. She was born here. It was the grandparents that immigrated.
Well, he's a phenomenal quarterback, and it doesn't hurt to be 6'4", 220 with a arm by God.
Yeah.
Right arm given to you by the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, that and belief in yourself and trust in your teammates and a lot of hard work, but you got to have the talent, and he obviously has the talent.
He does. He does.
And I'm since Notre Dame was brutally excluded from the college football playoff, I'm going to be rooting for Indiana to win a national win the title of the playoff.
I think a lot of Americans are. Because
it's about time. I don't know. It's kind of there's some brutal competition with Ohio State, Georgia, and et cetera. But you want to see
the little guy win for.
I have my underdog picked out. I think it would be good for college football. Again, since Notre Dame was brutally excluded from the college football playoff.
Indiana has to go through either Oklahoma or Alabama.
Yeah,
and then they could face Texas.
A lot of red and white right there. Ole Miss is
I'm rooting for Ole Miss.
Ole Miss is in the playoffs too.
It's going to be Tulane and then Georgia.
Tulane.
Oof.
Poor James Madison University. They made the playoffs.
Yeah.
But their reward is going to Oregon.
Yeah.
And play the Ducks. Huh? What kind of reward is that? All right. Thank you for joining us today on the program. We appreciate it very much. Keep listening to AFR. We'll see you back here tomorrow.